listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. This show will be a mini Pronk Pop Show. It'll be less than 30 minutes. I had a lot of catching up to do in terms of the post-production. I'm almost there. I posted the first show of this year that I did Friday today. And after this show, I'll post yesterday, Monday's show, in which which was on the National Security Agency. I want to wrap that up because I really was towards the end but really did not finish it. And for those that are listening to the show for the first time, first of all, the way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. And that's a companion blog to this show. And at the very top, you'll have links to the shows. The only people really that are hearing me right now, this is being streamed over the internet. So if you're listening to KDUX Web Radio, you're definitely hearing the show, but most of my listeners, over 99%, are listening the podcast, and the way you listen to that podcast is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com and click a link at the top. At the very top, I have shows. Usually I have about 40 or 50 of the last shows, the most recent shows, and below that I have a complete archive of all the shows in my portfolio, my Pronk Pops portfolio of all my shows. So I'm saying that at the top of the show. Now, what you need to understand is I post my notes below the link that has a lot of information. And what I'm going to do for this show is repost my notes for show 186. This is actually show 187. And this will be a wrap-up, but I also have at least one other brief story that I'll get into, namely the weather. That seems to be the story that is dominating the news both on television and in the press because we've had these freezing temperatures. The so-called polar vortex has come down and made it cold in the United States. Most people, you know, when I was growing up, what we called it was winter. In the winter, what happens? It snows, it gets cold, occasionally it gets icy, and as a result, it's difficult traveling. School usually is closed if it's really cold and a lot of snow. Children stay home from school, and if it's really bad, your parents stay home from work. And that was kind of for 50, at least when I was growing up, we called it winter, and that's how we responded to. We adapted. In winter, I used to hate this, I would have to put on rubber boots and zip them up because I didn't want to ruin my shoes in the snow. So it's interesting to see the reactions to this. This and what's driving, I won't say crazy, I'm actually laughing at these people. They're now claiming that the polar vortex that has moved from the Arctic, where it usually is, and now is swept down into the middle of the United States and is making it freezing across the Midwest through Chicago, Illinois, Ohio, and into Pennsylvania, New York. It's freezing. It's cold out there. Are you surprised? It's January, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not surprised. One of the reasons I'm in Dallas, and it's fairly cold in Dallas, it's in the 20s. Last night it got into the teens again. It's not as bad as being in Minnesota where it's, when you add the wind chill, it's minus 40, minus 50 degrees. I don't particularly never wanted to live in Minnesota, and I really left New York and New Jersey to head south. Why? I don't particularly care for the winters. I got my fill of winters when I was growing up. I've shoveled a lot of snow. Now, it was fun for the kids. You can build snowmen. We used to have a hill where we'd take our sleds and slide down. We're looking forward to that. The lakes, I wasn't into ice skating, but we had lakes nearby. Kids could go and skate, but you had to be careful because it really had to be frozen. But that's the normal the normal. It's winter in January, especially if you live in the northern United States, whether it's on the coast or in the Midwest or even in the Washington area. It's going to get cold out. Some days it's going to get a little warmer. Some days it's going to get colder. And some days it's going to be like this. And it's called winter. But now we have an agenda going on. And what is that agenda? The global warming agenda. Actually, they've changed it now to climate change. Why? Well, in the early 70s, in the 70s, the fear-mongering that was going on, and you see it in the Time magazine covers, and when I do my posts for this show, I have those covers. The fear was global cooling. The temperatures were going down, and we needed to worry about that. We need to be alarmed about that. Were we going into another ice age? And then suddenly, in the 90s, actually beginning in the 80s, but in the 90s, continuing today, some people changed their mind. The problem was global warming. And if we didn't cut back our consumption of electricity or our car usage, what was going to happen? The ice was going to melt. The seas were going to rise. Well, you know, tides come in and out, and sometimes you have high tides, but the seas aren't rising. The polar bears are having a terrific time. They're flourishing. But the polar vortex that is now sweeping across the United States, it should be up in Antarctica, but it's bringing down these cold temperatures, and that's due to global warming. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, I've studied global warming. I had an open mind, and I came to the conclusion it's the biggest racket, leftist lunatic racket, mainly perpetuated by government scientists, not all of them, but many of them. But that is the news story of today, is that the temperatures across the United States are low. Is anyone surprised by this? I'm not. I'm really not. Because if you lived in Boston, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Chicago, this happens every year. Now, does it necessarily get this low? No, it doesn't. But the weather changes. You know, the joke in Texas is if you don't like the weather, just wait a couple of days. And that's exactly what happens, because we go from cold to warm to hot, back to cold, cool, and this happens, except in August when it's usually very, very hot. We seldom have nice days in August. I remember my first year or two in Texas, I lived in Fort Worth, not Dallas, where we had over 110 degrees many days in a row. We went over 30 days over 100 degrees. Well, I wasn't used to that. Now, I will say we have what they call dry heat. It's not necessarily that humid, but it's hot. 110 is hot, and that's a problem. And guess what? In August, in the summer, what's going to happen? We're going to have warm weather again, hot weather again. Now, I don't hope it goes over 100. I'd rather it be in the 70s or 80s, but in Texas, in the summer, usually it's hot. It's in the 90s and the 100s. Now, I know you shouldn't confuse climate with weather, but there are two key points here. One of the, I'm trying to think of his name. He's an MIT professor. His first name's Richard, and his name will come to me in a minute. He's a climatologist. He's an expert in this field. And what he tells people, and it's very good, he says, look at the newspaper in the back where it has the weather, and you'll see two key numbers. It'll have yesterday's high and yesterday's low. And usually, depending on where you're at, there's a spread between the two. Usually, it's at least 15 or 20 degrees. And that's pretty good, because today, I think the low in Dallas was about 15 or 16 degrees early in the morning, and now I believe it's going to hit the low 40s. So it's gone up about 20 degrees. But usually, and you can check it out, even when the temperatures go real low, there's a spread. and it's usually 15 to 20 degrees or more. Sometimes it's 30 or 40. Now, why am I saying this? The world came out of the Little Ice Age about 1860. And from 1860 to the latter part of the 1990s, the temperature went up a whole degree Fahrenheit, 1 degree Fahrenheit, approximately a 7.7 degrees centigrade over that roughly 140-year period. It didn't surprise scientists because literally we were coming out of the so-called Little Ice Age. And when you come out of a Little Ice Age, temperatures go up. And guess what? They did. But how much? Less than a degree. And that's the concern. Oh my. And they're trying to blame it on man. And they're saying we need to control this climate. That's a joke, folks. We can't control the climate. We can't control the weather. Accept it. I accept it. But apparently, we have government scientists as well as most of the left saying, well, we're the cause. Man is the cause. No, we're not. We've had these so-called ice ages, not this little ice age, but ice ages that typically last around 90,000 years. There's, again, variability here, followed by a period of around 10,000 years where the temperatures actually warm up, the so-called interglacial age or period. And that is going on and on and on. There's a record of this. And we are, I think, in, I don't know the exact number of years, we're in about 12,000 years of the so-called interglacial period where you would expect warming. But if this pattern continues, which I think it will continue, we're overdue for another ice age, one of the big ice ages that lasts 90,000 years, many generations of humans. And this has been going on fairly regularly. And guess what? We didn't have automobiles there. We didn't have the Industrial Revolution. We didn't have industries using fuel and putting in the atmosphere carbon particles. My point is, it's not caused by man. A lot of people would like to make you believe that because they have an agenda, really, to cripple the capitalist system in the United States. It's a racket, folks. It's all about controlling you. They want to control you by making you dependent on the government. That's how they want to maintain political power. That's why one of their number one priorities, if they ever really had the votes, is to take all your guns away and have a system where you only have one supplier of health care, namely the federal government. That's called socialized medicine and what they call single payer. So that's Obamacare. Obamacare is really a stepping stone to that. They truly want it to fail because the majority on the left, the progressive left, the government interventions, that is what they want. They want control over you, and one way to control you is health care, your access to health care. And they want a monopoly where the only place you can get health care is through the government. I definitely oppose that. I'm for competition. I'm for the free market system. I'm totally against Obamacare. Now, that's not to say that there are things that can be improved in the United States healthcare system to improve access by everybody to have healthcare. And it's called a good job. Because if everyone in the United States that wanted to work could work and had a good paying job, what would that mean? They could afford to have excellent health insurance, which means they could go to the doctor when they want to go to the doctor. And be able to, like they do for all goods and services, negotiate the price of the services they need. I'm all for competition. I'm all for health savings accounts where you save money. And for the small bills, that's taken care out of your health savings accounts. And for the large bills where health insurance is appropriate, that's paid by the insurance. And the answer is to make available for everyone a good job. Now, that's not the government's responsibility. Jobs are created in the private sector. But my solution is that if everyone today in the United States that wanted to work had a full-time job, a good-paying full-time job with benefits, where they had the option, they could either accept their employer's group plan if they had it, or they were earning enough money to buy an excellent health insurance plan, that's the answer. We wouldn't need welfare. We wouldn't need food stamps. We wouldn't need, at least according to some people, Obamacare. Now, after saying that, I'm not against the safety net. There are some people, unfortunately, that can't provide for themselves for whatever reason. The truly needy. Some of these people have mental problems. Some of these people have disabilities that make it near impossible for them to work. You're always going to have that. The problem is that should be a very small percentage of the people in the United States. My guess is under 5%, probably under 3%. I think most Americans would say for those people that are truly needy, the government should provide some minimal level of care and food and shelter and medical assistance. And guess what? That the United States does provide. The problem is today we have not 1 or 2% or even 5%. We're approaching 10, 15, 20% that are getting some form of government assistance. They are truly dependent upon the government, whether it's for food stamps, whether it's for Medicaid, whether it's for welfare and a number of forms, whether it's subsidized housing. People are taking advantage of the system. We need fundamental reform where you have to work. And if you literally cannot work, that should be the only exception. Now, that's part of the problem. One way to control you is to make you dependent on the government and control your access, for example, to health care. The other way, and it's essential, and today is a good example of it. What do Americans need on a day like this? They need heat. They need heat. They need electricity to power a heater in their apartment or in their home. Likewise, in the summer, they, especially if you live in Dallas, you need an air conditioner to keep you cool. What the racket of the people that favor global warming or climate change, now they're calling it climate change, just like they're now calling Obamacare the Affordable Care Act. See, if it ever gets any negative press or negative criticism, they suddenly change the label. So Obamacare is now called the Affordable Care Act. It always has been the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. Now it's called Obamacare. What the global warming people or global climate alarmists are saying is we need to cut back our emissions of carbon dioxide. Ladies and gentlemen, you and me in every breath are exhaling carbon dioxide. Our breathing, our use of our cars and power plants to generate electricity is not going to change the climate, and it's not going to change the weather. What we need to be doing is to ensure that we have affordable, inexpensive electricity so that in January, in winter, whether it's December, January, February, or even going into March, people can afford cheap or inexpensive electricity. And we're very fortunate in the United States is we're discovering more and more natural gas. And that's what I favor. We need to have natural gas powered plants to heat the homes and cool the homes in the summer. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I'm not going to be able to wrap up the National Security Agency story, but I wanted to hit the weather situation first because that is the story of the day. You'll go home to the news. And the reason I know it's up today, I was in the newsroom for the Richland Chronicle, and story after story after story. Not everything. It wasn't wall-to-wall weather. But that was the, they were doing a lot of shots from various cities. How cold is it? Oh, it's 10 below or it's 15 below. Well, it's winter. It should be cold. Were you expecting 75 degrees in Boston or New York City or Chicago or Minneapolis, Minnesota or Green Bay? No. You know, I would expect it's probably somewhere between 0 and 36 or 40 degrees. And if we have one of those polar vortex coming down, are you scared yet? Well, when the polar vortex comes down, we're going to have a couple of days, maybe as long as a week, where you're going to have below normal temperatures. That happens every year. I can't think of a year that I've been alive where we haven't had that. And we're worried about a 1 degree Fahrenheit change in the climate over 140 years? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? The answer is not trying to limit carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere. The answer is to build more power plants and have competition in the electrical generation market by using the cheapest means available to generate electricity, and that is natural gas. By far, it's not solar power, it's not wind power, it's not hydroelectric power, it's really not electrical power. It's natural gas followed by coal. That's why if you look at the numbers, over half all the electricity generated in this country today is generated either through the use of natural gas or coal. And most of that is clean energy in the sense that even in a coal plant, they have scrubbers that take out the particulate matter and do a very good job. And that's expensive, and we've made those investments. But thank God we have that electric power available, and it's affordable to most people. It's fairly cheap, although it has been going up in price. But if you sign a contract with whoever you get your electricity from, I was talking to someone that did this. One of the options he chose was natural gas, and what he has seen is his bill going down, down, and down over the years. Why? We've discovered these large sources of natural gas throughout the country, and that's to the benefit of everybody. I'm going to have to wrap up the show. I definitely will wrap up the National Security Agency story. I only have about 5 or 10 minutes on that, but I'll definitely do that and cover what's ever in the news today. But today it's rather been wall-to-wall weather stories, and I guess everyone is surprised. It's winter in the United States, and when it's winter, guess what? We have snow. Kids can make snowmen. They can slide down hills, and you're going to have occasionally ice on the road. Live with it. Adapt. That's what humans have been doing for centuries. Don't fight it. You can't change the weather. You can't change the climate. Don't pay attention to these climate warming nuts, because in the 70s, they were panicking people on global cooling. And frankly, I believe in climate change. It does change. And what I'm really afraid of is another ice age. We're overdue for another ice age. And if that happens, you won't have to be worried about being warm, and you're going to see you won't be alive. It's going to take hundreds and thousands of years because it lasts 90,000 years. But you're going to see glaciers several miles high heading towards the United States from Canada. So adapt. That is what most humans have done through the ages, and that's what you need to do. Don't believe this nonsense of global warming. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I'll see you tomorrow, hopefully sharply, at 4 o'clock. We'll have a full-hour show, and by then I should be caught up on all the the two shows, both today's and yesterday's, will be posted. Thank you for listening.